with absolute excellence. This,
No pressure.
Inside your bulletin this morning, you'll notice a questionnaire. By completing and handing in this questionnaire, Mrs. Kala Brooks will be able to prepare and deliver social interest courses that meet the interests of people like us in the congregation. You are invited to take the questionnaire home, fill it in, and bring it back next Sunday or the week after, and put it in the blue basket that it'll be in the hallway or the narthex out there. And I have a special announcement for all of you, because coming up very quickly, next Sunday is the Case for Kids walk. There's still time to get involved in Case for Kids. Paul will be in the hall after the service this morning to take your names and your money. And also remember that this Friday, it's amazing how quickly the spring has come together. This Friday is the golf tournament. So if you haven't signed up and you want to do so, please see the folks in the hall for the golf tournament. For all the other announcements that are important and to note in the life of our congregation, please refer to your bulletins. And join with all the musicians in the hall following the service for coffee and juice and some terrific conversation about angels. And I understand that the Cubs are going to be down in the hall also after the service this morning. They're having a bake sale. All the baking that has actually been prepared by the Cubs, believe it or not, and the proceeds from the bake sale are going to Sick Kids Hospital, which is terrific. Now, to begin our service this morning, we will hear from Appleby Bells playing a piece called Glorious Celebrations. This has been a very pleasant but demanding piece of music to prepare, and it calls on pretty much every possible skill that a bell ringer could have to put this together. So let's sit back and ring in the music.
Thank you.
Our processional hymn this morning is This Day God Gives Me. It's number 410 in Voices United. Please be seated.
I light the Christ candle today knowing that God is in this place. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits thee here, every this day be at my side, to light, to guard, to listen, to guide. Amen.
I didn't have time to get some stylish underwear. Wife gave me this on my last birthday. I passed away in it. Oh, Tom Sawyer's drying out too. You should read the new book Mark Twain's writing now.
How did you happen to fall in?
I didn't fall in. I jumped in to save George.
You what? To save me?
Well, I did, didn't You didn't go through with it, did you?
Through with what?
Suicide.
Oh, it's against the law to commit suicide around here.
Yeah, it's against the law where I come from, too. Well,
where do you come from?
Heaven. I had to act quickly. That's why I jumped in. I knew if I were drowning, you'd try to save me. You see, you did. And that's how I saved you.
Very funny.
Your lip's bleeding, George.
Yeah. I got a bust in the jaw in answer to a prayer a little bit ago.
Oh, no, 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 George. I'm the answer to your prayer. That's why I was sent down here.
How'd you know my name?
Oh, I know all about you. I've watched you grow up from a little boy.
What are you, a mind reader or something? Well, who are you then?
Clarence Oddbody, AS2.
Oddbody? AS2, what's that AS2?
Angel, second class. Cheerio, my good man.
Oh, brother. Wait a minute. I wonder what Martini put in those drinks. Hey, what's with you? What'd you say just a minute ago? Why'd you want to save me?
That's what I was sent down for. I'm your guardian angel.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Ridiculous of you to think of killing yourself for money. $8,000.
Yeah, now just things like that. Now, how do you know that?
I told you I'm your guardian angel. I know everything about you.
Well, you look about like the kind of an angel I'd get. Sort of a fallen angel, aren't you? What happened to your wings?
I haven't worn my wings yet. That's why I'm an angel second class.
Well, many of us know this lovely story about Clarence, the angel in training who's trying to earn his wings by saving a human soul from making a very bad decision. George is at his lowest point, feeling defeated, depressed, and undermined by life, and he is about to give it all up. But his angel, Clarence, stops him. Well, today we're going to explore, discover, and celebrate the idea of angels. In preparing for this special service, we found a multitude of material which is almost overwhelming. But we are going to highlight 3 points of this celestial information for your consideration. As you listen to our beautiful music program and view our inspiring videos, we encourage you to revisit your own thinking about angels. In our Hollywood depiction of an angel, Clarence appears in human form as George's guardian angel. In all the literature and research that we explore, one of the roles of angels is as guardians.
Good morning, angels. I'm going to recite for you some selected scripture readings to show that angels are our guardians. From the book of Daniel. So the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested, and he was thrown into the pit filled with lions. He said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve so loyally, rescue you." A stone was put over the mouth of the pit, and the king placed his own royal seal and the seal of his noblemen on the stone, so that no one could rescue Daniel. Then the king returned to the palace and spent a sleepless night, without food or any form of entertainment. At dawn, the king got up and hurried to the pit. When he got there, he called out anxiously, "Daniel, servant of the living God, was the God you serve so loyally able to save you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May your majesty live forever. God sent his angel to shut the mouths of the lions so that they would not hurt me. He did this because he knew that I was innocent and because I have not wronged you, your majesty." The king was so overjoyed He gave orders for Daniel to be pulled up out of the pit. So they pulled him up and saw that he had not been hurt at all, for he trusted God. And from Psalms, you have made the Lord your defender, the Most High your protector. And so no disaster will strike you. No violence will come near your home. God will put his angels in charge of you to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands to keep you from hurting your feet on the stones.
Perhaps you or someone you know has had an experience of being helped by an unexplainable presence of a spirit or an energy. In our next video, we see a true life example of a guardian angel at work in our world, believe it or not.
One frosty evening in December 1981, Roy Godwin was driving with his wife and children.
We were travelling on a main road, quite a wide main road, through a forest. And suddenly there were four headlights side by side, immediately in front of us, one car overtaking the other. I instinctively pulled the car to the left onto the grass verge. But the car that was in front of me hit us head on. It was very serious indeed. I was quite clear that I was dying. Both the police and an ambulance came. Smoke started to come up from the front of the car, and they needed to get everybody out. They couldn't get me out because I was well and truly trapped in there.
Roy believes that whilst he was waiting to be freed from the damaged vehicle, something quite miraculous happened.
I was alone in the car. Suddenly through the darkness came a figure, and he walked very steadily and clearly straight between the trees through the forest, which was impenetrable, certainly at that time with brambles. But he walked in a straight line, straight to the side of the car, and he climbed in. The seat was covered with broken glass, but he simply sat there. He was wearing a coat with a hood up, didn't see his face. But he put his arm straight across my shoulder. It felt as though I'd been plugged into the mains. This incredible force and power was just continuously flooding through me. After a while, the ambulance men came over and said that they were taking my family off to hospital. And at that point, this person who was sitting by me climbed out of the car and said with a very strong and clear voice, "Stop." And he said to the ambulance man, "You're to bring his wife over here to him." And they brought her over to me. And then he spoke to me. He said, "Man, you are to know that your wife and children and you as a family will be together again and whole, and you are to disregard anything else that anyone tells you."
What was the reaction of the doctors when you got to hospital and they saw your injuries?
I was wheeled straight into theatre, and they asked me to sign a form giving them permission to amputate my left foot and lower leg. And I couldn't give them that permission because all I could hear was, "You are to disregard anything that anyone else says. You and your family will be together and you will be whole." And so I didn't have my foot amputated, and I have it today, and we're doing very well together. One of the things I was concerned was that because of the seriousness of my injuries, I dreamt it all, as it were. But some weeks after the accident, the police turned up unannounced, and they had two questions. Given the extent of the damage to the car, they wanted to know whether I had any explanation as to how it was that I was still alive. And then their second question was about the figure who was in the car with me, who had carried such authority that they had unhesitatingly obeyed it. It seems to me as though God sent an angel to help me. I knew I wasn't abandoned. I knew I wasn't on my own. I was clear that God was going to carry me through where I was. And I felt loved.
Let us join together now in singing God Give Us Life, Voices United, number 704.
Life when all around is bare.
Not only do angels come as guardians to humanity, but they also appear as messengers, messengers of important news. The Tanakh, the Hebrew Bible, reports that angels appear to each of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they appeared to Moses, Joshua, Hagar, Daniel, and Lot, not just to name a few. The messages were often warnings of upcoming danger and how to handle it.
In Genesis 19, they say, when the two angels came to Sodom that evening, Lot was sitting at the city gate. As soon as he saw them, he got up and went to meet them. He bowed down before them and said, "Sirs, I am here to serve you. Please come to my house. You can wash your feet and stay the night. In the morning you can get up early and go on your way." But they answered, "No, we will spend the night here in the city square." He kept on urging them, and finally they went with him to his house. Lot ordered his servants to bake some bread and prepare a fine meal for the guests. When it was ready, they ate it. The next morning, the two men said to Lot, "If you have anyone else here, sons, daughters, sons-in-law, or any other relatives living in the city, get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place. The Lord has heard and the terrible accusations against these people and has sent us to destroy Sodom." From Luke the First, one day Zechariah was doing his work as a priest in the temple, taking his turn in the daily service. According to the custom followed by the priests, he was chosen by Lot to burn incense on the altar. So he went into the temple of the Lord while the crowd of people outside prayed during the hour when the incense was burned. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right of the altar where the incense was burnt. When Zechariah saw him, he was alarmed and felt afraid. But the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son. You are to name him John. How glad and happy you will be, and how happy many others will be when he is born. He will be a great man in the Lord's sight." And Luke goes on to say, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee named Nazareth. He had a message for a young woman promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. Her name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you." Mary was deeply puzzled by the angel's message, and she was wondered what his words meant. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus." And in Mark 16, after the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices to go and anoint the body of Jesus. Very early on Sunday morning, at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they said to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" It was a very large stone. Then they looked up and saw that the stone had already been rolled back. So they entered the tomb, where they saw a young man sitting on the right, wearing a white robe, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised. Look, here is the place where they put him. Now go and give this message to his disciples, including Peter. He is going to Galilee ahead of you. There you will see him, and just as he told you." Oops.
Our next video is an interesting interview with a neurosurgeon who had a near-death experience, one that challenged his idea of a purely scientific world, and he left him with important knowledge that he feels compelled to tell the world.
20 continues. Is there proof of heaven? Once again, Elizabeth Vargas.
8 million Americans claim to have had a near-death experience, but neurosurgeon Eben Alexander never thought in a thousand years he would be one of them.
What did you think those were?
Fantasies, hallucinations.
He was a man of science. He didn't believe in it. That is, he says, until it happened to him.
Let's talk about how you got sick. You woke up in the middle of the night feeling ill and in pain.
It was like being struck by a freight train. 4:30 in the morning, woke up. Never had anything like that before. My last words to my wife, don't call 911. You know, trust me, I'm a doctor. It's just a muscle spasm. And I was gone.
Dr. Alexander had a rare and deadly form of bacterial meningitis, which was infecting his brain. In a matter of hours, this healthy man was on death's door. By the time they got him to the hospital, he was in a coma.
So your wife was being told that you might die?
And that she would be raising our two boys without me.
But as his body lay in that hospital bed with no recognizable brain activity, Dr. Alexander says he had already begun an astounding journey. A journey to a place he'd said didn't exist.
Did you believe in heaven?
When I was younger, I thought a heaven and a loving God made sense. But through my academic neurosurgery career, I saw less and less that that could be the case.
The journey began, he says, in a dark, formless place without memory, language, or time. But then...
I was rescued from that by this spinning melody of light that came closer and opened up and was a rip in the fabric of reality that just opened up around me.
You described this world as hyper-vivid.
The colors were extremely vivid, with millions of butterflies. And these flowers blooming, blossoms opening as we flew by.
And by his side, an unknown presence.
There was a person guiding you, a beautiful girl, as you describe her. Tell me what she looked like.
She had a beautiful face with a wide smile and high cheekbones and absolutely gorgeous, clear blue eyes. She never said a word to me. She would look at me and the thoughts would come directly into my mind, into my awareness.
What thoughts?
And the thoughts were, you are loved, you are cherished. There's nothing you can do wrong. I always remember being told, we will teach you many things, but you'll be going back.
Back to the hospital where his wife kept her vigil and his doctors were giving up hope. On the seventh day of his coma, he opened his eyes.
It was just nothing but a miracle.
His first words, the very words he'd heard from his guide, that blue-eyed girl.
All is well. Don't worry. All is well.
Within weeks, Eben Alexander had made an astonishing full recovery.
How are you different after going through this experience?
Well, my family says I'm nicer.
That's a good thing.
Really has changed me in every way by realizing that our souls are eternal.
The book he has written, Proof of Heaven, has sparked a lot of controversy.
You know, you do have skeptics out there who are just saying it's not uncommon for people near death to have all sorts of funky things going on inside their bodies.
Well, that's why the fact that I had meningitis that was so severe, I mean, that should not have allowed for any experience.
And then this with the eyes just shows how
his brain was so completely shut down that the visions he had could simply not have been generated there. He says he wrote down everything he remembered, now in his book, before speaking to anyone so as not to taint his memory.
You then went on to read about other people's near-death experiences. Was it striking how similar what you had written was to what they had experienced?
It was absolutely astonishing.
I really felt the white light was God.
I stopped walking and I saw my grandma.
You could see peace, you could see love.
And all the other afterlife stories, everybody told of being guided by a loved one who had died. You had as your guide a girl you'd never met.
I must say that was very haunting. Why would I go through all that and not have my father there? My father, who was a neurosurgeon, I idolized him, and he had passed over 4 years earlier. Why wasn't he there?
And why the blue-eyed girl instead? Dr. Alexander had been adopted as a child. Years later, he found his birth family, all except for one, his birth sister, who died before he met them.
Her name was Betsy.
How old was she when she died?
She was 36 years old.
So Betsy you'd never met?
I just heard what a beautiful, loving soul she was. How she worked in a rape crisis center and took care of many people who were unfortunate. And she was just a very loving, loving person.
How was it that you came to see a picture of her?
My birth sister, Kathy, had promised to send me a picture of Betsy. And it was about 4 months after my coming out of the hospital when that picture arrived.
He opened the envelope and saw it for the first time. The photo, he says, was of that blue-eyed girl from his vision.
And it was so stunning. And that picture was almost as if she's saying, "Do you get it now?" And I cannot tell you how powerful that was. There was no mistaking it. That's exactly who it was.
Life is back to normal at the Alexander household these days. There are soccer games to watch, dinners to be shared, grace to be said. But Dr. Alexander says he's on a mission now.
I hope to tell my story to everyone I possibly can around this world, because I think it will help this world to be a much better place.
Let us join now together in song, Voices United, number 299, Teach Me God to Wonder. Dr. Eben Alexander has written a book on his experience, Proof of Heaven, and it's definitely well worth the read. The message that he received from all the energies on the other side was that he is loved, and that we are all loved unconditionally. However, before his near-death experience, Eben Alexander was a doctor, a man of science, and he admits that he was skeptical about otherworldly activities. He was a man who looked at things with logic and scientific explanation. And many of us might also say the same about ourselves. Maybe you don't believe in angels. Perhaps you've never had an unexplained ethereal experience, and you doubt that you ever will. And you know, that's quite okay. We can still acknowledge that there are people on earth who do extraordinary things that have angel-like qualities. We can celebrate the real-life angels who walk among us, and perhaps are us. As Dr. Eben writes, the universe has no beginning or end, and God... Oops, missed a page. Is entirely present within every person. Sorry about that. We respond to God's unconditional love for us by sharing our first fruits in support of his work at Appleby Church, our community, and around the world. We will now have our morning offering. No? What are we doing next? Huh? Oh, the angel choir. Oh, there we are. My apologies.
Thank you.
As Dr. Aben writes, the universe has no beginning or end, and God is entirely present within every particle.
I will recite some selected scripture readings to show that angels are indeed among us. From the first letter of John, "Dear friends, if this is how God loved us, then we should love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in union with us, and his love is made perfect in us." And from Hebrew, "Keep on loving one another as Christian brothers and sisters. Remember to welcome strangers in your homes." There were some who did that and welcomed angels without knowing it. "Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them. Remember those who are suffering as though you were suffering as they are."
In this final video today, we will see a man being honored for his role in saving hundreds of people during World War II. You could say he is being celebrated as a real-life angel.
We did find her name on his list. Vera Gissing is with us here tonight. Hello, Vera. And I should tell you that you are actually sitting next to Nicholas Winton.
I was walking walking home from school on a cold winter day. Took a shortcut through the woods and I lost my way. It was getting late and I was scared and alone. But then a precious child took my hand and led me home. Now Mama couldn't see him, but he was standing there. I knew in my heart he was the answer to my prayer. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to show us how to give, to guide us with the light of love. Life held troubled times and had me down on my knees. There's always been someone to come along and comfort me. A kind word from a stranger to lend a helping hand. A phone call from a friend just to say I understand. But ain't it kind of funny at the dark end of the road that someone lights the way with just a single ray of hope? Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to show us how to give, to guide us with the light of love. So many faces show us in the strangest places to grace us with their mercy in our time of need. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to show us how to give, to guide us with the light of love, to guide us with the light of love.
Now we will have our morning offering.
Excuse me.
Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the gift of angels. Bless our gifts such that we may be angels to one another, and in doing so further your kingdom on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In our research, one point that recurred for Christians was the warning that angels are here to help us and to inform us, but they're not meant to be worshipped. They are intermediaries between God and humans. Ultimately, God is the one to whom we owe our honor and gratitude. With angels' help, though, we get to know God's unconditional love. We know that we are not alone. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your infinite love for us has chosen a blessed angel in heaven and appointed him our guide during our time on earth. Accept our thanks for so great a blessing. Grant that we may experience the assistance of our protector in all our necessities. And you, holy, loving angel and guide, watch over us with all the tenderness of your angelic heart, and keep us always on the way that leads to heaven, and cease not to pray for us until we have attained our final destiny. And we thank you, Father, for blessing the world with your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Voices United, number 844. 884, thank you. You shall go out with joy. Well, there is so much. Please be seated. There is so much to say about angels, so much literature and information written about them that we haven't even touched on today. What is the right angle on angels? Angels as guardians, angels as messengers, do they exist? But perhaps for the time being, a more important point is to be one of those angels among us, helping, comforting, bringing positive messages of love, to other humans on earth. Now, this final anthem this morning, you are invited to join in on the chorus, but please be seated, remain seated. As you leave, greet one another. Thanks be to angels.
Good to know that even you can make mistakes.